This message sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford, the Minnesota Broadcasters Association, and this station.
It's Mornings with Dablo on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW.
Hey, good morning, you. Welcome to our Thursday talk round here, January 12, 13 degrees, and a cloudy sky is what we're dealing with right now. And we're both in here whining about our coughs and our cold conditions. Yep. My favorite historian, everybody's favorite historian, Janet Gageland, in this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
And you've had this thing going. I've had mine since like Labor Day.
Yeah.
Can't quite seem to get rid of it.
Nope, it goes and then it comes back.
Comes right back, yep. Yeah. Well, good to have you in again. And yep. This has been kind of an ongoing saga about the shoot 'em ups and the bank robberies.
Yeah, it's been like a soap opera.
It is. It's Janet Gageland's miniseries.
Yeah, right.
We'll just call it that.
Okay.
Well, we're going to wrap things up today.
We are.
With one of the craziest stories, I think, that we've had since you've been doing this segment.
It's been an odd one, but it's been enjoyable to research.
Really enjoyable and enjoyable to hear about. Well, tell us kind of how we're going to wrap this thing up.
Well, we're going to talk about the four individuals who actually were part of the Citizens National Bank robbery.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, they were caught in the South Dakota bank robbery.
Yeah, right.
Okay, and they fingered three of them, and the other one stayed in the background for a while, but eventually they got his name and they found him.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the individuals from the Citizens Bank was his name was Reinhold Engel. He was the wheelman. He was the one that drove that big Hudson. He had no idea where he was going, but he drove it. And so that's how he got to kind of figure out how they could get to South Dakota.
Reinhold Engel.
Yep. He was kind of, you know, living in the Aberdeen area mm-hmm. for a while. And so they got to that far, but once they got to the Aberdeen area, they sort of split up the loot, and you know, and then they went on their way. But he actually was a German actor, and
of course, that
was one of his professions.
Story just gets crazier as
well,
it goes.
And he had done some acting at. You know, and a lot of the small towns did the same thing. They would have these groups of actors come in.
Mm-hmm.
And he and some of the other actors were actually in Ipswich. You know, the place where they robbed the bank and shot the, you know. So, yeah, that is like, really? You must have cased the joint before you.
Yeah, it sounds like there was some planning that went
yeah,
into
I think
this.
So.
Yeah.
Because of that robbery, that bank robbery, he got 30 years in prison.
Okay.
He must have passed away in prison because he died in 1958. So,
okay.
You know, 30 years after 32, that's quite a bit. Sidney Roycraft. Sidney was the guy at the door, you know, that's when the people came in, I get down, you know, and he gave them the instructions. And he was pretty easy to pick out because he was the guy with the glass eye. So everyone knew him, but he said, oh, no, I haven't been there. But, yeah, well, the glass eye gave him away. Yep. Yeah, and Reinhold, he was also married, but he didn't have any children, whereas Reinhold had a couple of children. And so, again, he had 30 years in prison with that robbery. Phil Roy, or Ray, Charles Roycraft, brother of Sidney, he was also married, had a couple daughters, and he was sentenced to 30 years in prison. In South Dakota. So that was his sentence began in 1932, I think it was. And in 1936, the paper says that they had the most sensational prison break in the history of South Dakota. So there was another guy in prison. He was only in prison for 6 years.
Just keeps spinning out. Yep. I love this.
But you know, he wanted to get out, and of course, so did Phil.
Mm-hmm.
And Harold's brother came to visit him in prison, Claude. And they were visiting in the canteen area, kind of like, and this is the eyewitness lady says, all of a sudden they had guns, and they put everybody against the wall with hands up. So they Anybody who came in, hands up, get up against the wall. They got the keys from the gatekeeper.
And this is in prison?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. So they got the keys, and they took some more items from the arsenal, you know, like guns and whatnot. And then they left and went farther into the prison to track down Phil. So they found him. And they're like, oh, boy, we're going to have to shoot our way out of here. No, they thought, well, let's take a hostage. So they took the warden hostage. And they take whatever they have for their guns and stuff like that and head out to the parking lot. And here's a car out there. And the lady who owned the car was touring the facility.
Of course.
Yeah, so they took her car and then sped off with the warden. And according to the eyewitness, there were well over 100 rounds that were shot in, you know, back and forth between them and the guards and the sheriff's office. And so they rammed the car, the sheriff's car, and then kept going on their way. And pretty soon that car was disabled. And how they got another car, I don't know. But they did. But in the meantime, after that second round of gunfight, Phil Ray got shot, and so did the warden. And Claude and Harold left them,
yeah.
And they got another car. And so they're driving down the highway, and it must have rained. It was in March, I think, so there must have been puddles on the road.
Mm-hmm.
They hit a deep one, and the water from that puddle came up and shorted out their ignition. So they couldn't go any farther. So Claude then got shot. Harold tried to run, but he ended back up in prison again. So that's the end of Phil Ray or Charles Ray.
And folks, this is a true story.
Yeah.
It isn't based on true events. This is an actual true story. Nobody's making this up, although it sounds like something out of a Hollywood script.
Yeah. It's pretty odd. So that was his end. You know, he 36 years old. You know, and he probably had been living that lifestyle for quite a while.
Well, and all these guys were family men, too. You know, they were married. Some had kids.
Yep.
It's like, wow.
Yeah, I know. Put that in perspective. But, okay, so the last guy was George McKeever. George McKeever left that group, and he was in Iowa doing a bunch of other bank robberies. And so they caught up with him, and he's like, no, I was never in North Dakota. Well, they identified him. He was the guy that escorted the board members out of their office. And Ray was the guy who took the money, filled the bags, you know. So now we've got, everybody has a part.
Everybody's got a job.
Yep. And so George is the guy who took everything out of the people out of the boardroom, and he ushers them down. And so he ends up getting caught in Iowa. They bring him back to North Dakota. He gets 10 years in the pen in Bismarck for his part in the robbery of the Citizens National Bank. Well, they had his fingerprints on file. So along comes the Missouri people, and they're like, hey, this guy is wanted in our state because he shot a sheriff and a highway patrolman. So they take him from North Dakota into Missouri. So his sentence was death by hanging. Yep, they hanged him. There were,
What year was this?
1936.
Okay.
So it was like Phil was in March, and then this guy was in December.
Okay.
Yeah. So so there were 300 people who were part of this that watched this. It was the last hanging they had in the state of Missouri. The one prior to that in this particular county was in 1856. So it had been a long time.
Mm-hmm.
The sheriff was really moved by the whole thing. He actually went out and bought a casket for him. Instead of wearing his prison things, he wore a blue suit. He had a Bible and a rosary, and he said, you see me standing here, I ask forgiveness for all as I am about to leave this earth. And the inmates said, well, you know, so long, George, take care of yourself.
See you on the other side.
Well, maybe so, but so he was calm up until the end, and there were about 50 to 60 people guarding just in case somebody might come to another prison break.
Right.
And they didn't want that. So he also was married, didn't have children, but that was his end.
Wow.
So going back to Phil a little bit, the one who was shot in the gunfight, he was buried in the Poor Farm Cemetery in Sioux Falls, unmarked grave. They know the location, but it's not marked with anything.
Mm-hmm.
He also was a very good shot. So when they robbed Citizens National Bank, he was the one who shot the salesman getting out of his car. And he was also the one who shot at the doctor who was on the second floor of the drugstore. he thought that he was kind of like a sniper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look back into the history, from 1923 going all the way through the early 30s, there were tons of bank robberies. And so to try to curb that, they would put snipers in the second floor window. And then they would then help with controlling, you know, what was going to happen with this bank robbery. So that's who he thought he was a sniper up there.
Mm-hmm.
But man, to have a bullet whistle between you and your patient, and you have no idea what's going
right,
on.
Right, right.
So that's the end of them. They met their demise in many different ways, but that's
our story.
That is it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the end of it.
That is absolutely riveting. Seriously, fascinating stuff.
You can't write it.
And in only the way Janet Gageling can tell it, I keep saying that.
Well, I've probably left out a few details. There's a lot in the local newspapers about the hanging of George McKeever and how his widow was present. And, you know, I mean, those are things we don't really need to know.
Right.
We need to know that he walked from a jail to
to the gallows.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that was it, you know. But in a blue suit. I don't know where he got a blue suit. Somebody brought it. But the sheriff, you know, buying him his own casket, I thought. And he had to stop and look at it just to make sure.
Wow.
And he thought that was really nice.
That is really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Good people, bad people. We got them all in this story.
Yes, we do. We got them all. Yeah, relatives and just people who knew one another from all of their hoodlum days.
Right.
So, yeah, that's the end of the story.
Oh, man.
I don't think there's anything more I can find on this one.
I hate to see that come to an end because that was really, really entertaining.
Yeah,
and,
it was good. It was good.
Good stuff. Well, you keep digging, young lady, and see what else you can come up with.
Yeah. I tried finding some more sensational stories, but I'm not sure there are too many that exist.
Anybody that can find him, it would be you.
Well, we start and we try.
Right. Well, let me know by next week and we can get you back on here, okay?
I think I'll have some information next week on Lilligard.
Okay.
Only because that name still is in our community.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he died such a long time ago, 50-some years.
All right.
But, you know, and then he was part of the posse that went after these guys. So,
okay.
So I think he deserves a little bit of time.
Absolutely. We'll give him that next week. Janet, as always, thanks for coming in.
Yep, you're welcome.
Great segment. It's 8:19 here at the Voice of the Valley. Good morning.
This March at the North Dakota Winter Show in Valley City.
Then I want to kiss you in the morning.
Michael Ray, one of country's hottest...